I haven't actually seen this entire movie. It's 3 hours long, but found that clip this week. And the premise in that movie is that there was a favorite bracelet of Pharaoh's that went missing, and they pointed out that it was either the cupbearer or the baker who stole it. And so, interesting premise, not biblical, not in the Bible text, that that's what happened, but it's kind of easy to think about something like that took place to incur such anger from Pharaoh to take these two men that were part of his cabinet, they were part of his staff, and to throw them into prison the way that he did. Well, that's the story that we're looking into today. It's in Genesis chapter 40. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me and follow along. It's a familiar portion of Scripture. I think we all have heard this story throughout our lives, Joseph being in prison and being lifted up again to take over the prison and administrate it for the warden, and did a wonderful job. And then he was put in charge attending these two men when they came into the prison. Moses, he's a great storyteller, and he seemed to just have a one-track mind, though, when it came to Joseph. And everything that he tells about Joseph comes all the way back around to whatever was meant, God can circumvent. Whatever anyone did to Joseph that was meant for evil or meant to harm him, God turned it around and used it for Joseph's good. God had Joseph right in the place where he wanted him. And Joseph, right at that moment, says to that cupbearer, "Now remember me to Pharaoh when you are restored." And had that happened, we wouldn't be here today. That's how important the timing of God is. Let's look into that a little bit. Joseph's story is absolutely vital for Moses, because Moses wouldn't have a story without Joseph and his story. Joseph, as you know, was tossed in a well and left for dead. He had to struggle through the false accusations of Potiphar's wife, was thrown into prison by Potiphar, who had two choices, actually. One, to kill him on the spot, which was the punishment for someone doing what Joseph had been accused of, but Potiphar, in my estimation, didn't believe his wife, and so he sends Joseph into this political prison. And now, Pharaoh's cupbearer comes along, and you just saw the story acted out. And he completely forgets about Joseph once he's restored to the cabinet position that he once held. And here's the key point for us. As we look at the injustice, as we look at the difficulty that this young man was going through, Joseph remained humble and faithful. And because he did, the Lord God, Yahweh, continued to raise him up. And it'll be the same way in your life, I promise you. No matter how hard times get, no matter what you have to face, if you will remain humble and faithful to God through the most difficult times, when you just want to throw in the towel, when you want to say, "Man, I don't get this. Everything seems to be against me, and God certainly must not care about my life. He doesn't answer my prayers the way I want him to." If you'll say, "And yet, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to remain humble. I'm going to remain faithful." You watch, God will, just like in the life of Joseph, continually raise you up. Some of you are here today, and you have faced humiliation. You have dreams that have almost faded. Listen, here's the message today. Remain faithful. Only God knows the correct timing to bring to pass the things that you thought were going to happen in your life. Had the cupbearer spoken immediately to Pharaoh, what would have happened? Joseph would have gotten out of prison. He would have returned to the land of Canaan. And you can just imagine the havoc that that would have stirred up in the family when here he shows up and his father, Jacob, now Israel, looks at his son in astonishment, and after he gets done hugging him, he turns and looks at the other guys. And he probably would have turned his back on his boys. And then think this through. All of Joseph's boyhood dreams would have been left unfulfilled. So remember, only Yahweh God is wise enough to work out all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purposes. We are the people of God. We must trust God for his timing, for the things that you've been praying about. Are you wise enough to know the timing of Jesus in your life for that great opportunity to arise? Last night, we just happened to catch, you know, I love these whodunit shows. I always like to try to figure it out who did it. And these days, you know, unfortunately, 90% of the time, it's the husband who kills the wife or the wife who kills the husband. It's awful what's going on out in our society. But, you know, it's like always you can follow the money trail. It's the greed. It's the lust for power and money and all of these things that cause people to murder other people. And last night, there was a story about a young lady that was murdered by her husband. But they started the story with another young lady who loved that man and wanted to marry him. And she was so crushed when he didn't choose her. How do you think she felt when she was in court and discovered that he was the one who murdered his wife? Sometimes, folks, God, who sits above all, he knows best. We have to trust him with our disappointments. He knows best. He's probably sparing you. Some of the prayers we've prayed, if he answered them, we'd be in horrible shape today. Trust him. He knows the timing. You've all heard me talk about revival, and I truly believe it's on the way. And some outstanding things are going to transpire concerning the kingdom of God in this Las Vegas Valley. What is the timing of this sovereign move of God? I have no idea. I don't know when it's going to happen. That timing is completely in the hands of Jesus. And the timing for what you want to happen is completely in the hands of Jesus. Jesus calls us simply to be faithful while we are waiting. Oh, can you imagine how beautiful it is in the heart of the Lord when he finds a servant like Joseph who just, Lord, I don't get this. I don't understand. He had to wait 2 more years in prison after the cupbearer was restored. And yet, he did it faithfully. He did it gracefully. Jesus consistently tells us to watch and to pray. Only one timing issue is clear in the whole Bible. Do you know what that is? The only time that God tells us when something is supposed to happen, there's only one. And that is today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Oh, if you're here and you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says that the time to give your life to Jesus Christ is now. Right here, right now, today, this moment. Don't put it off. You have no idea if you'll be here tomorrow. You imagine how awful it was? You imagine what it was like in the home of those two police officers who just a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning left their homes, kissed their families goodbye for the very last time. Young men, in the prime of their lives, they had no idea that their lives were going to be taken that day in such a brutal and awful, barbaric fashion. None of us know about tomorrow. Today is all we have. And that's the one timing that God lets you in on. Today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Invite Christ into your life right now. Don't wait another moment. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. Wash those sins completely away. And he'll do it. He'll invite you into his family. He'll begin to orchestrate every portion of your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to all by the end come around and work for your good. And today's story, pretty much like the story of Jesus, there was one person who dies and the other person is delivered. Remember the thieves on the cross? This is what happened to them. The one thief continued to mock Christ and died in his sins with no hope of eternal life. The other one responded to salvation and joined Jesus that day in paradise. Today is the day of salvation because no one is assured of tomorrow. We know that Joseph was 30 years old when Pharaoh promoted him, when he was able to get out of that prison he was in. So we also know he was 17 when his brothers shipped him down the river. So there was 13 years where he was in servitude. And we don't know. How long was he in Potiphar's house? How long was he in prison? The Bible isn't clear about that. But we do know that there were 13 years that transpired where Joseph was in that school of learning and growing and remaining humble and remaining faithful. And I don't know how long it's going to take for you. It may take that. It may take longer than that. But know this, God is sovereign. God is in control. And God certainly knows and cares about what you're facing. And please put that deep inside of your heart. Notice today in the story that there's a continuing of the domino effect that we've been talking about for several weeks. He goes from Potiphar's household, which was so strategic. God was so involved in that, that this man, this powerful man in the land, on Pharaoh's cabinet, receives Joseph as a slave. And then the accusation, even though it was awful, it was allowed in the plan of God because he had to get from Potiphar's house to Pharaoh's house. Potiphar would have never let him go. Joseph was the most wonderful administrator. So the accusation comes and the placement in the political prison. And then here comes the cupbearer and the baker, two other men on the cabinet, the most powerful men in all of the land of Egypt, who had run afoul of Pharaoh. And now he comes into contact with someone who potentially has contact with the most powerful man in the land. Can you not see the orchestration of God even in Joseph's darkest hours? That's what God wants us to know. So again, what did the cupbearer and the baker do? Who knows? Did they conspire together? Were these separate charges? We don't know. What we do know from our text today is that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 40 that sometime later the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. And verse 2 says, Pharaoh was angry with his two officials. The Hebrew word is ketsof. It's an intense anger. There are six words in Hebrew for being angry, and this is the strongest of all six. It refers to being in a rage. Often, this word is used of the Lord's anger against sin. He just absolutely hates sin. God rages against sin. This is how God and Moses both felt about the golden calf when they came down from the mountain top and God had given Moses the Ten Commandments and the people had begun to worship a golden calf. This intense anger, that's what's described in the life of Pharaoh. And let me just say, if you ever find that white hot anger going on in your life, I hope and pray it's for the right reason, like God being upset about sin. And I hope you don't hold on to it too long, because that's doing damage to us as human beings. So don't hold on to white-hot anger and rage. Get help. I mean, cool down. Go talk to a counselor. Don't hold on to that. It can truly destroy your life and the lives of those that you love. In verse 3, the Bible says, let me go back to verse 2. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. We don't know exactly, according to this text, who the captain of the guard was, but when you do the background study, you realize it's Potiphar. Potiphar is, even though unnamed, the one who is clearly in charge of this prison, because he is the chief executioner. He's the FBI man. He's the head of the Secret Service. He handles all of Pharaoh's enemies. And in fact, there's a commentator that suggests that the prison was actually an extension of Potiphar's house, which could have been either good or bad for Joseph, depending on how his relationship was with Potiphar. We believe that it is Potiphar who appoints Joseph to now serve the cupbearer and the baker. So either he really loves and believes in Joseph and has let him know that and wants to position him to be close to others who were on Pharaoh's cabinet, or this was a very awkward conversation when Pharaoh had to come and sort of ask Joseph to do something special after what had happened. So I lean towards the fact that Potiphar had still great faith in Joseph, more so than his own wife. Back in this day, there were two types of servitude, the slave and the personal assistant. Joseph is the personal assistant to the cupbearer and the baker. And I think that's just important that we know that. It's important that you understand the kind of relationship that was going on between these two. In this movie, there is a portion there where the baker's just mean and rude, and he's, you know, you saw him slap Joseph, and there was an earlier time where he beats him, and so they really set the baker up as the guy that you would love to see his head come off. So way to go, Hollywood. None of that's really portrayed here. We don't really know. I mean, I always wonder, like I wrote in the little blog, you know, how bad was that guy's cooking? The chief baker, that he had to be thrown into this prison the way that he was, and then his head taken off. Man, that guy was some awful cook. But verse 5, again, we have no idea how long Joseph served these two men until that incredible night of nocturnal destiny, the night that both of them had a dream on the exact same night. Joseph's story is about dreams, his own personal two dreams that as of yet are unfulfilled, the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker, which changed the course of the history of Joseph's life, and then the dream of Pharaoh that we're going to look into coming up. But all of this together, you need to understand that dreams were most likely the best form of revealing the future to those who do not know the Lord. Back in that day, and even today, God will still use dreams for people that don't know Him. I've heard great stories about Muslim people all over the world that are having dreams that Jesus Christ appears to them and shows them who He really is. And so the Lord is still using dreams. And these dreams of the cupbearer and the baker were not your average dreams. Sometimes we dream resulting from unresolved emotions that occurred during our day. Always our dreams, I've read, are designed to reboot our brains from the activities of our day. But this was completely different. This was a dream from Yahweh Himself. Have you ever had a dream like that? Have you ever had a dream that you know was from God? It hasn't happened much for me, but I had one this week, interestingly enough. I'm not making this up. I had a dream from the living God this week that I was in a distressed place. I was facing some difficulties. I was really under pressure. And then all of a sudden, just like that, the rapture took place. Now, I've had another rapture dream before, and it was glorious. I mean, that one brought me up out of the bed. Just, yes, praise God, hallelujah. Oh, shoot. I'm still here. But this dream this week, when all of that pressure and all of that distress I was under, when the rapture took place, and once I realized that I had made it in the rapture, it was not like there was no fear. There was no fear without ever the possibility of having fear again that I experienced in this dream. It was glorious. Friends, that's the way it's going to be. I can guarantee you that. The moment the rapture takes place, the moment you're in the presence of God, or if you were to die and go by way of the grave, the moment you leave your body here, instantly you're in the presence of the Lord, where there is not only no more fear, no more heartache, no more pain, no more sorrow, but there's not even the possibility that you will ever experience that again. Yeah, come on, let's give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then I woke up again. But for these guys, these dreams were so disturbing and powerful. They knew this dream was from God. They just didn't know what the dream meant. And had they not been in prison, they would have gone and consulted sorcerers and magicians in Egypt who went to school to try to learn how to interpret dreams. But God had Joseph's life in his hands, just like he has your life in his hands. Believe that. Live that. Trust that. The Lord has your life in his hands. Verse 6 is where there is a word translated in the NIV, dejected. Let's read it. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. And this word in the Hebrew means pitiful, wretched. The idea behind the word is to have a storm raging. Joseph could have experienced this word in his own life. The word is zafim. But he had an exceptional attitude. Why? Because he knew his God was with him. So when you're facing stuff that could bring zafim, distress, wretched, pitiful, just you're down and you're down on yourself and you're down on life. And at that moment, remember, God is with you. And it's okay, you're going to make it, because you know God is with you. And if you know God is with you, then like Joseph, you can develop the best attitude possible while facing the very worst situations. And that's kind of the whole essence of these Bible stories that we're looking into. The cupbearer and the baker are in such distress because they don't know the meaning of their dreams and they have no way of finding it out. Well, watch this. In verse number 7, Joseph does something that, had he not done this, he would have died in prison. That's how important what he does next is. He asks Pharaoh's officials who are in custody with him in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today? Why are your faces so sad today?" Joseph isn't just going through the motions of his duties. He's genuinely engaged. He notices the gloom and the distress on their faces, and he truly cares about their well-being. What if he'd had a bad attitude? What if he had not cared at all, not inquired about their sadness? Why, he would have died in prison, along with all of his hopes and all of his dreams, and also the hopes and dreams of the nation of Israel, even as we know it today. So here's another key point that I don't want you to miss. We must be faithful even in the mundane details of life, because we never know which ones Jesus might use to fulfill his will.
It might just be that your boss comes in one day and you notice the sadness in his or her face. And because you're a genuine Christian and you care about people and not to, you know, try to suck up to him or her, but just because you really genuinely care and you inquire about that, who knows? But what that could be the key to opening the door for you for greater opportunity. We don't know. And Joseph didn't know. He wasn't trying to schmooze these guys. He was just genuinely concerned because he was being faithful even in the smallest details. In verse 8, Joseph, with great politeness, Joseph says to them in verse 8, as they say, "We both had dreams, but there's no one to interpret." Joseph says, with great politeness, "Please tell me your dreams. Don't interpretations belong to God?" So here he is in this place of tremendous humility, and he informs these prisoners that the interpretations of dreams belong to, and the word here is Elohim. He wanted the Egyptians to know the all-powerful God has the great power to tell you the meaning of your dreams. And so it's really reminiscent of Daniel, isn't it? I mean, Daniel and Joseph are a lot alike. And Nebuchadnezzar and Pharaoh, they're a lot alike. And they both had these magicians and sorcerers. And they both had dreams that nobody else could interpret except Elohim, the living God, through his servant, Daniel. And in our story today, Joseph. Remember, God had not yet revealed to Joseph even the fullness of what his own dreams meant, because it wasn't time yet. But Joseph feels confident that this is his time. His time has come. This is his ticket out, so he can go back home and reunite with his father and see his little brother Benjamin. So he says, "Tell me your dream." And you saw it. And you can read it. Cupbearer has this dream, three baskets on his head, and in the top one, the grapes, you know, and he's squeezing the grapes into Pharaoh's cup. You're going to be restored. Interesting. Interesting. The interpretation out of Joseph, so natural, so beautiful, so easy, and yet so divine from God. And can you just imagine the disappointment Joseph must have felt when the chief cupbearer forgets about him? In verses 14 and 15, he's pleading his case. He's telling the cupbearer, this is not if, this is when you get restored, because it's going to happen 3 days from now on Pharaoh's birthday. And you, when you get restored, just remember me, verse 15, "For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in this dungeon." And so he's pouring out his heart, and, you know, he's expecting that he's going to get out of jail and it's all going to happen. But here's the deal. Joseph had his sights set on something far below what God had in store for him. And that's the same thing for us sometimes. Sometimes that very thing that you're expecting, that raise, that promotion, that change of scenery, that move. Someone told me recently, Pastor, we want to move because there's so many churches in this little town we're going to move to. And it's like, really? You know, I mean, okay, there's churches here. You know, I mean, just sometimes we get our hearts set on things and it may not pan out. I know someone that wherever they move, they're miserable. Why? Because they took themselves with them. And already they're talking about another move, and I'm thinking, you're going to go with you. It's going to be miserable. What God had in mind for Joseph, Joseph couldn't even begin to fathom. But this simply wasn't God's timing. Verses 16 through 19, something else I want you to notice in these next few verses. "For today's prophets And really, all throughout history, the temptation, if you have a prophetic gift, the temptation is to, you know, when God raises you up and you have a real voice, temptation is to tickle people's ears and tell them what they want to hear. Joseph is wise beyond his years. Did you see the way he handles this? I like the way they portrayed it in the movie. He's now telling the baker about his dream because the baker saw the good report that the cupbearer got. So he takes some boldness now. Hey, tell me what my dream means. So Joseph starts off, well, the three baskets mean 3 days. And the baker's drawn in. Yeah, that's good. That's just like the cupbearer. And in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift or raise your head. Good. So far, so good. That's good. He's going to raise my head. And then he'll raise your head even further, right off of your body. He's going to behead you, and then he's going to impale you. He's going to hang you from a tree. The prophet speaks, even when the truth is crushing. The prophet has to speak the word of the living God. Verses 20 through 23, it's Pharaoh's birthday. If you were invited and you politely refused because you had a previous engagement, the penalty for not showing up for Pharaoh's birthday party when you received an invitation was death. So this is an important party, and you might want to go to that party. And the cupbearer goes to the party, and the baker goes to the party. The cupbearer is restored. The baker is beheaded and impaled. Then the cupbearer promptly develops what I call divinely appointed amnesia. Because here are the events that would not have happened had the cupbearer remembered Joseph. Had the cupbearer remembered Joseph and he got out of prison, he would have gone home. So we wouldn't have Moses writing to us these stories, and he would not have been the deliverer of Israel because there would not have been an Israel to deliver. We would not have received the Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston would not have become famous. I just threw that in to see if you're still awake. David would never have been born. Jesus would never have been born. Why not? Because he would have gone back to Israel, and there wouldn't have been anybody in power when the big famine hit, and probably we would have lost the entire nation of Israel. So we must trust God for his timing, ladies and gentlemen. That's the big part of the message today. Because had Joseph not trusted God's timing, we would all still here today be dead in our trespasses and our sins. So walk with me through keeping in mind the timing of God. Okay? Just reviewing. If Joseph gets out of prison right away and returns to his family, the huge famine hits. There's no one in charge in Egypt to help his family settle, grow into a nation. And all these other things that I just said, along with countless others, would not have come to pass. But here's the deal. Joseph remained in prison so that we don't have to. Joseph remained in prison so that we don't have to. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. How grateful we are today, Father, that we do have Jesus, that each one of us can march through the Red Sea of your precious blood and be forgiven of all of our sins and delivered from that land of bondage that we've lived in for so long.